those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Give the Lord glory and honor. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. This is the most listened to show at this hour on Saturday mornings on WGBB.
No, this is the most listened to show on WGBB.
I want to be specific.
Period.
I'm a lawyer and I have to be very specific. I don't want to be making false claims.
Oh my God, that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
And we love Mary, too.
And we love Mary. Certainly do, baby.
Yeah.
And we got some guests. We love our guest.
Yeah, we do.
Back for the third time. Yes, yes.
Well, he's all right.
What an honor. No, what an honor to have Deacon Jock. Welcome,
and
Deacon.
Thank you so much.
Because I always mess it up.
The last name is Filippo.
Filippo.
Yes, Filippo.
And Deacon Jock is a deacon at St. Thomas the Apostle.
Yes.
And also a chaplain in the hospitals.
Yes.
And he does one heck of an adoration moment at the last Friday of each month at St. Aidan's.
All his adoration moments are miraculous. They really are.
Well, all credit to the Lord and, of course, the Blessed Mother.
And we have to talk fast because he has to be out of here. He has to go to a wake. So, Jock, tell us about Mary and how Mary influenced your life. How's that? That good?
All right, one more thing is then tell us why you became a deacon and what made you become a deacon.
What made me become a deacon? Well, I've always had a relationship with the Blessed Mother.
Ah.
And it started way young when I was a little boy. And I grew up in Haiti, and I came here at the age of 14. But then there's a place called Sodo in Haiti where they have a Lady of Mount Carmel. And it's a place where it seems like the whole country gathered there on July 16. And I've always had that love for the Lady of Mount Carmel. And I remember being there with my mom when I was about 12 years old, and the church was packed. There was no place to sit. So I was kneeling there next to my mom. I was right in the passageway next to the pew, and it was time for procession. And the priest was coming down the aisle, and then suddenly I lost sight of where I was. I had no idea what was going on, and then I saw the Blessed Mother standing in front of me. And she was standing in front of me and placed her left hand on my head and smiled. And then when I finally came back to myself, it was my mom tapping me on my shoulder saying, "Move out of the way, move out of the way. The priest has to go through." And then that's when I finally got back to myself. But, of course, she prevented me from talking about that. I guess she didn't want people to think that I was going crazy. You know, when I told her about the experience that I've had. So from that time on, I've had a devotion to the Blessed Mother. Of course, always have my scapula on, even when I play sports, and I've played sport a lot, played a lot of soccer. Even that, I always have my scapula on, except I only took it off when I take a shower.
So
I always wear my scapula, having that devotion to the Blessed Mother. And she's given me many other signs throughout my life.
And you're not crazy. A lot of people get these experiences. They're personal encounters.
Yes.
And you can't claim anything more than that. But they are God's way of touching you. And
yes.
He chose to touch you through Mary. Mm-hmm, isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful. But, of course, I tell you, during my teen and like about 18, 19, and I kind of did step away from the church. I didn't quite understand what I had, even though I always had my devotion to the Blessed Mother. I would go on pilgrimages in different places, but I didn't go to Mass every Sunday as I was supposed to. But eventually, I guess the Lord pulled me in. You know, He pulled me in, of course, to the Blessed Mother. And I came to realize that I had it all in the church.
Absolutely.
I had it all right there with the Lord on one side. And, of course, the Blessed Mother, and we know what she does. She takes us to her son.
Yes.
And she did.
Absolutely.
That's what she did.
Have you met and, you my
know,
son?
You know what's nice, though? He won't force himself on you.
Not at all.
And, no. And you'll eventually say yes.
Yes.
He'll just keep at you
yes.
until you say yes.
Oh, yes, yes.
But, you know, Jesus through Mary is a beautiful way to find Jesus.
Yes.
Because the way I look at it is that you have Mary, and she brings you right to Jesus.
That's right.
And I think that then you have both Mary and Jesus.
That's right. You see, I one thing I've come to realize that I've reflected on is what took place at the wedding in Cana.
Yes.
People don't realize that there's a special grace. There's only one way you can get that grace, is go through Mary.
And Jesus never says no to Mary.
No.
Like he showed at the wedding at Cana.
Exactly. 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 And many people don't seem to understand that.
Yes.
And, of course, a lot of people from different denominations, even Catholics, they don't seem to realize that there is something that you need. The only way you can get it is go to Mama. That's what I call her, Mama.
I remember in my own prayer life, and this is kind of silly stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
How you talk about Mary asking Jesus to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So she pointed to me and she said, "Would you clean him up?" He said, "Now you really want a miracle." Yeah. You know? Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. I tell you, you know, one of the experiences that I've had, because I'm a member of the Legion of Mary, which I became, mm-hmm. and after a dream that I had in which the Blessed Mother told me, I gave you something to do and you're not doing it. And right after that, I joined the Legion of Mary. And one of the many experiences that I had as a member of the Legion of Mary, because we usually, from time to time, we will go door to door.
I was just going to say that. They're
yes.
a beautiful organization.
Yes.
And they are apt to go to the streets.
Yes, yes.
I know them. They do a great job. They really
yes.
do.
We
have 35 Legion of Mary groups on Long Island.
That's right.
And a dozen of them are Spanish and the rest are English speaking. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Tina yeah. Marie mm-hmm. Is, she's been on our show.
Tina Marie's been on our show several times.
Mm-hmm. The leader of it.
She's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe number two command, I think.
Yeah. But we also, you know, we have a very active one at St. Catherine in my parish.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget her name, that passed away. She was in charge of it. She was 90-something years old. Her daughter took it over,
mm-hmm.
and she's doing a great job, really a great job. They've been on our show.
That's right. I mean, when you have the mother by your side and you stay true to her, you pray your rosary, you say your Hail Mary, even if you do three Hail Mary a day, you see signs. She gives you many signs. And I remember one day, as I was saying earlier, I went out with my friend Rosemary, who was the director of a group, to knock on doors. And I knocked on someone's door, and that person just opened the door and immediately closed the door. I was so hurt. I said, "How can somebody not want to talk about Mary?" Mm-hmm. You know, because the idea is to tell them about the Blessed Mother so that they would have a devotion to the Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
I was upset and annoyed. And then we walked into the next house. And we knocked on the door. And this woman who was taking care of three children, she has three children, as soon as she heard the Blessed Mother, it was totally a different story. She opened the door and she said, "Come on in and have some tea."
Yes.
And she shared with us her story of the Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
You know, a lot of people who are Protestants say, "Why do you people pray to Mary?"
Well, that's mm-hmm. their
what's
common.
Going on? No, but I think it's important because you're right on why.
Mm-hmm.
Because you pray to her and she answers
yes.
in different ways. She touches you.
That's
she
right.
She absolutely does. But that's a common statement with the Protestant people. Why do you worship Mary?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mary didn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mary has been predestined.
That's right.
From the Old Testament.
Chosen by the Father.
Yes, chosen by the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, gave a yet, let it be.
That's right.
Without hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think.
Well, she offered one objection, but I do not know man.
That's right.
Her humanity came out that way. And then she said, well, let it be done to me according to your will.
That's right. Yeah. And then to add on to that, that's exactly why the angel, Archangel Gabriel said, Hail Mary, full of grace.
Yes.
Because she was chosen by the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Father chose Mary, why should we deny her or not acknowledge her for who she is? Because it is through her that we receive the grace.
Absolutely.
The grace of receiving the Son, the only begotten Son of God.
Another interesting point is that Jesus never hid his love for Mary, always showed his respect and love for Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say he never said no to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have turned your back and walked away after the experiences you've had.
Oh, yes.
But he said, hey, wait a minute now. I have chosen you to do a ministry related to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you.
That's right.
Eventually you had to say, yes, be it done unto me according to thy will.
Exactly, following the mother's footstep. And not only that, that woman lifted my spirit by sharing with us her story, her experience that her mother told her about the Blessed Mother. Absolutely. Her mother was giving birth, and the child wouldn't come out. She was having difficulty.
Right.
And then she said, she called the Blessed Mother. And she said, her mother told her, she heard a voice that says to her, I will not have come if you didn't call me.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately she gave birth to the daughter. And that was the daughter whom we met with her three children. So that's why, knowing that story that her mother had told her about the Blessed Mother, that's why when we knocked on the door, she immediately opened the door and asked us to come in. Not just to come in, but also to have some tea with her.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's how powerful it was.
Yes.
But it's like sitting down. Mary comes in and sits down like a friend.
Yes.
And say, hey, Jock, you got some stuff going on. Supposing you look at it this way. And then I want my son to talk with you. And maybe the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people might say that's crazy, but that's our religion.
Yes.
We are in relationship with three divine persons and the mother of Jesus.
Amen.
And the whole mystical body is together in this battle for whatever we're doing in our time in life. Tell us a little bit more about what you've been doing recently, especially if you want to get into Rosa Mystica.
Well, talking about Rosa Mystica,
That's a place upstate, and they have a foundation down here. Go ahead.
Yes, it is a place in Edmiston, New York, which is 20 minutes from Cooperstown.
Mm-hmm.
And it is certainly holy ground. I mean, I've just happened to discover this. Well, I didn't discover it, but the Blessed Mother led me to that place. Again, she gave me a sign many years back as I was going to the University of Buffalo, where my daughter, my oldest one, was supposed to attend. And then suddenly I saw what appeared in the sky as something cloud-shaped in the form of the Blessed Mother. Mm. And immediately the thought crossed my mind, what is going on? Is there something around this area about the Blessed Mother? And when I came back to my home in Long Island, in asking around, I came to find out, yes, there was a shrine of Our Lady of Rosa Mystica in Edmiston. Mm-hmm. And for years I had been trying to get there. And eventually that didn't materialize until 2 years ago. And I mean, over 10 years I was trying to get there. Finally, 2 years ago.
How did you get there?
How did I get there? Well, it so happened a friend of mine named John Frank, who happened to know the foundation, where the foundation is located, know the people. She knew that there was a communion breakfast going on, taking place, which they hold each month. There's a communion breakfast at the foundation, and she invited me. And I went that day, and I assisted as a deacon. And then from there on, it was in June when I went up there. And at that particular moment, I found out that on July 12 was the Feast of Our Lady of Rosa Mystica, and they were getting ready to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, put me in. I said,
jumped right on the bandwagon.
I jumped on it, and I made my reservation. And I've always wanted to experience being in a cabin. And I went up there and stayed in a cabin with my family It was one of the most awesome weekend that I had.
And it's beautiful.
Oh,
up there.
Forget about it. Beauty, there are no words to describe the place. It's up on the mountain. You see the tree. It's almost like, it's like what the world was when it was first created. Virgin.
Really? Really?
Virgin. And not only that, and right there on the grounds, there's a little cabin where Sister Leonardi, who was given the coordinates by the Blessed Mother.
In latitude and latitude.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. The latitude and longitude of the place. And then she had a little cabin in the back where she prayed for 3 weeks, fasting, praying, asking Mother for a sign. And I tell you, it's worth the trip. It's about 4 or 5 hours, but it's worth the trip, because when you go, get up there, you know you are on holy ground with the in the presence of the Blessed Mother and the presence of the Lord and the whole heavenly host. You'll be surprised of the experiences of what you can experience on just being up there at Rosa Mystica.
You're a great spokesman for Rosa Mystica.
I tell you, you really are. I have been touched greatly by that place. I am touched.
Do you know the story of Rosa Mystica with the three colored roses? Do you know that? I don't know it specifically. I thought maybe you might.
Well, I know the white is for purity. The yellow is for penance. And the red, I'm not so sure what it is. What? It's, of course... Of course, it's all about returning, repenting, coming back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we can see as going on in our world, we can see reason as to why we need to turn back to God.
Absolutely.
God has been calling us. And, of course, Rosa Mystica has to do with the priests, you know, the priests in terms
of... The clergy, yes.
The clergy. That's one of the things the Blessed Mother wants us to do. Praying for priests, being there for them, especially in this particular time when we are under attack. Christians are under attack. As a matter of fact, right now, as I'm speaking now, in the Republic of Congo, a priest, the priests there, are under attack. As a matter of fact, one of the priests, Father Ignatius, who was at Rosa Mystica, he's right now under house arrest. He's right now under house arrest.
We know, yeah.
And he's under house arrest because the government right now is in power. They want to change the constitution because they want to remain there for life permanently because their time is up and they don't want to have any election. And they want to change the constitution.
I'm constantly afraid of that.
Yes, and the bishops have gotten together and sent out a letter in opposition to that. And the pastors of each parish were asked to read the letters. And then what they've done, they've arrested them. Many of them were beaten. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of nuns who were beaten, hospitalized.
Really?
And he was fortunate they didn't beat him up, but he's under house arrest. So we need to pray for them.
Absolutely.
We need to pray for our priests. And
that's not unusual, because in Nigeria, in the northern section, they're blowing up churches on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hear about it.
That's right.
There's such persecution going on
yes.
in different parts of the world. It's
That's
just
right.
terrible.
That's right. And the Blessed Mother, again, through the Rosa Mystica, as her title is known up there, she wants us to be aware of that. Come and assist a priest. Return to the church. Return to God. You know, time for penance. Time for purity, time to come and tell God and bring ourselves back to God. And say, Lord, yes, I'm sinned, I'm a sinner, and humble ourselves.
Absolutely. Humility is
humility,
the key.
Yes.
The key.
You can almost hear her as a mother saying, come on, sweetheart.
Yes.
Turn around now. We're going to work on whatever's keeping you from my son.
Yes.
We'll help you get there.
Yes, and she will.
And she's the bridge.
Yes, she's the connection. She
That's right.
Yes.
Deacon, I don't mean to, what do you call
it,
but I have this question that's burning me.
He does mean
and
it.
And I got to ask you this question. What made you decide to become a deacon?
Well,
I know you became a deacon, you know, a little later in life,
mm-hmm.
as I had wanted to do, but I chose a different road. But
thank God.
I would, what made you become a deacon?
Well, that in itself is an interesting story. Someone had given me a book entitled The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ. Now, I must tell you, I must have read this book about 5 times. But each time I read it, I mean, I knew of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. I knew about Jesus all my life. Yes. I went to Catholic school and church history and everything, but I didn't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened each time as I was reading that book, I was getting to know Jesus.
What do you mean by that, to know him?
Well, to know him.
As a person?
As a person, in other words, just like I know you and I know Dr. He. In other words, to have a personal relationship with Jesus.
I was just going
to
say, a personal relationship.
A personal relationship, to understand Jesus. And the more I had that understanding, the more I was given that grace, the more I found myself falling in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting to feel, to see the love that he has for me, what he suffered. And now I felt that I wanted to respond to that love. Somebody loved me so much, the only thing I need to respond to that love. And
Absolutely.
In that process, I started going to church every day, especially, you know, being that I was a school teacher, especially in the summertime when I was off. I found that I couldn't stay away. I wanted more of that Jesus. Now that I was reading about Jesus, I wanted to go and receive Jesus. I wanted to be there. And then I used to go to Our Lady of Loretto many times, Lady of Loretto in Hempstead.
Sure.
And one time I was kneeling in front of the tabernacle, and this woman, whom I do not know and whom I have not seen from since that time, she came and put her right hand on my shoulder, and she said, "Jesus asked me to pray for you." Mm. I said, "Go right ahead, place for me." And as she was praying to me, she said, "Jesus said he loves you." Mm. And I said, "Tell him I love him too." And
But that's the way it happens.
It was amazing.
And he'll surprise you. He'll come out of nowhere.
From nowhere.
And many times when you get your back up against the wall and you can't move another step, he comes up and takes the wall away.
That's right.
And sets you free.
Exactly, from nowhere. And then another time, I was at Our Loretto, and I saw this gentleman serving. That was the deacon was serving. And all of a sudden, something clicked in my mind. There goes grace again. I said, "I would like to do that." Just like that. I never planned it. I didn't even know what it was. It just so happened when I saw this gentleman, and I said, "I'd like to do that." And as I'm exiting the church, and I turn around, something caused me to turn around and look on the bulletin board. Then I saw something about pastoral formation. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down the number, and I said, "Let me call them." I wanted to get more. I was thirsty. As he said, when you're thirsty, those who are thirsty, come to me.
Absolutely.
And I was thirsty, and I called pastoral formation. Then I went, and I spent 2 years, pastoral formation institute, learning more about a church. It's like a continuation of what we learned when we were young.
Right.
And then I've learned more, more, and more. And as I learned more, and that's when I said, you know, me and several of my classmates, and we applied to become a deacon. And that's how the whole thing started. I applied, and of course, to that process, you have to see a psychologist.
Right,
they give you different tests.
They screen you
tests.
pretty
they
close.
They screen you.
And your wife has to agree.
And you got that right.
Absolutely.
I just figured I'd drop that in.
Yes, I'm glad you did, because it's not just for the man.
Yeah.
It's the man and his wife.
Yeah.
Because you need the support.
The wife plays an important role.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And they should be given the credit.
Oh, yes, and to be honest with you, I was so thirsty. Now, I live in Baldwin, and being a member of the Legion of Mary, we've always met on Thursday night, and I didn't want to take that away. And so, therefore, to attend the pastoral formation program, I used to drive every Wednesday evening all the way to West Islip, to St. John the Baptist. Now, I'm telling you that to let you know how thirsty I was.
Your determination.
Yes, the Lord had given me that grace. I just wanted more of Jesus. More of Jesus. But of course, as we stated earlier, it's all started with the mother taking me to her son.
It all starts with Mary.
That's where the grace takes place.
That unity and the love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary with the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yes.
Bowls you over.
Yes.
And it happens internally, and it happens personally.
That's right.
And that's what you mean by saying knowing Jesus.
Yes. Yes. It's a personal relationship.
Yeah.
You know, not just talking about him or hearing people talking about
theology books or anything.
No, forget about that. You have to come to know your Lord.
Yes. And he not only is our best friend, but he's our big brother.
Yes.
And so what more can you ask for?
What more can you ask for?
To have a good personal relationship.
Oh, it's incredible.
And he wants that relationship.
It's incredible.
But we need to tell him.
Yes, we need to tell
him. You know, St. Augustine, he had a rather unusual life, not a holy life for a long time. And he was talking to, I can't remember, St. Antioch, whoever the saint is of Antioch.
Ignatius of Antioch.
Ignatius, yeah. And he's saying, I want to find God. I want to find God. How do I find God? And Ignatius said to him, you don't find God. God finds you. Isn't that what he did with you?
Yes, that's exactly what he did.
He said, hey.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. Come.
You know, it's amazing.
But that's right.
It's not just the selective few. Jesus wants all of us to find him.
He called all
of us. He doesn't have what I'm trying to point out, and I get this a lot. You know, I go to the hospital to give communion, and I go to the homebound, and I get this a lot. Like, why would Jesus want to pick me? No, he wants everyone.
That's right.
He doesn't have that select few.
That's right.
That club that's hard to get into. Everyone is welcome to join that club.
Well, it's part of a team.
It's a team, yes.
You take a football team, absolutely. You have a quarterback, you have a running back.
Yeah.
Everybody has a role to play.
Absolutely.
He called different people to play different roles.
Yeah, we all have a role to play. That's, we all have a job to do.
That's exactly what it is. You play your role well, then he's going to say, come on, my son, my daughter, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the beginning.
Yes. And you don't have to be holy when you get the call, and you don't have to be Catholic. You could be any religion.
Oh, look at St. Paul.
And he'll just pull you in.
Yeah.
He'll just pull you in.
Look at St. Paul.
Sure.
Look what he did to say. I love St. Paul. Mm-hmm. I love his life. I broke it down into four categories. Mm-hmm. But look what he did to St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He brought him right in.
That's right. And not only St. Paul. All of the apostles.
All of us.
Because he's the one who transforms us.
Yes.
I mean, I'm probably one of the biggest sinners talking to you right now.
I think Palmer's got his
feet. I'm just quiet about it. I don't tell everybody.
But all we have to do, like Dr. John Palmer said, he said yes and open our heart.
Yeah.
And the mother comes in and she cleanses it.
That's what's so beautiful.
It's a cleansing process.
Yeah.
And then the Lord, as we receive him, and we open our heart and say, come on, Lord. And he come in and transform us.
Absolutely.
Now, people who are not being transformed is because they don't take that time to say, yes, Lord, transform me, Lord. Transform me into your divine image. That's what he does.
Yeah.
So that eventually down the road, when he calls us back home, we may inherit that kingdom.
Yeah.
It's a transformation. So we can look like him.
And he talks to us through so many areas, so many ways. I remember one time I was really angry at God, and I wanted to leave. I was getting out. And I hear inside of me a song, do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things? Well, wait a minute. Maybe I've been listening for a while, you know?
That's right.
We got to watch your time because I know that.
It's half the hour now, so.
I'm just so happy that you came. And I'd like to end with a song. How's that?
That's fine. Terrific. But before you do, I just want to tell you, Deacon, we love you very much. You're very dear to
us.
Well,
I mean, let's not go.
And you're very
far.
Close to our heart.
Well, I tell you, Doctor.
And I'm proud to say you are our friend.
Well, I'm proud to say that to have you as my friend. And I have to tell you, we give it all to the Blessed Mother and the Lord.
Absolutely.
It's all, and I'm so glad they're using me to do their work, to call others.
Amen.
And I want to be the best instrument that I can
and you are.
To serve the Lord.
You are. If anyone sees your service,
well, I thank the Lord. I thank Mama. Thank you, Mama.
This is Dana singing the Memorare. I figure, why not for you?
Beautiful. Thank you.
And all of our listeners, remember Mary.
Oh, most gracious Virgin Mary. Never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your aid, or sought your intercession, was left unaided by thee.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You too, around us too. Nice. I don't think. My thanks. Wasn't that special? Good man. Let's let Dana finish the song and then we'll get on with whatever we're going to do next. I love this song. It's an original. She wrote it. She introduced it on our radio show. Tony, people say, how come we don't have commercials on the show? I said, the whole show is a commercial.
Yeah.
It's a commercial and for Jesus we just Christ. Spent 35 minutes as a commercial for Mary.
And,
you know?
And Mary,
and,
yes.
And leading into Jesus. Absolutely. So what are we going to do? We have 25 minutes
well,
left
now
on
we
our
have
program.
To do, you have to
now
do
we got to go to work.
You have to do reflection.
A reflection?
The 2-minute reflection. You're so popular. You became popular with that. You know
well,
that. People ask me about it.
I wish I could say I wrote these, but our friend who writes these reflections is so special. He really is. And one of these years, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, you better not.
And I'm going to let everybody know who's doing this.
But you know what? Like clockwork, he sends them to me without fail. Without me even asking, he just sends them.
Well, let me read it then.
Go ahead.
Because he'll beat me up. He's bigger than I am. I am the Lord. There is no other. See Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4 to 6. As you read these words that we have heard at Mass and will hear this Sunday, how do you react to them? Do they have the effect of reminding you that the only one in life we are to bow down before is God? Do they remind you of how it's possible that you have created false gods and powers in your life that now control you? Do you worship the false god of money, status, food, drink, clothing, jewelry, sex, addictive substances, or the worst false god there is, one's self? When we consider the truth of the words quoted above from Isaiah, we are made free. Free to live as the Lord intended us to live, as creatures made in his image and likeness, with the capacity to offer love and receive love. Why is this so? How may this happen? Because the human heart needs the one true God to love, worship, and adore. Only God fulfills the yearnings and desires of the human heart. Look at the tabernacle in the sanctuary. Know that the Lord is there to be loved by you, and he is there to love you now, at this very moment, with all his tenderness, goodness, and mercy. You see what I mean by saying only God can love you like that, and why the prophet Isaiah speaks the words given him by God. I am the Lord, there is no other. Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful. He really is.
I shouldn't say he is some writer, but that person is some writer. Yeah. And I appreciate his words.
Oh, that's very nice of you for saying such kind words. And you read it very well, by the way. You do. That's why I prefer you read
this. Grammar School 101.
Yes. See, I'm public school 101. Brooklyn Public School 101.
What do you have for a saint?
Well,
today, I won't put music on because I don't want to drown you out.
Okay, good.
I'll talk to you, so I'll drown you out that way.
No, I know, you're good at that. But I thought you had a sore throat. And anyway, today we celebrate the Feast of St. Luke.
Yes.
But that's a good entrance for me to talk about the Gospels, about the Bible. Because St. Luke was the writer of the Bible. And so was John Mark. So I do want to talk about John Mark also. But what is the gospel? What is the Bible? You know, if they're just words, then we might as well save our time and save the ink. But they're not. They're words from God. It's actually, if you really read the Bible, it's instructions on how to conduct your life. And that's why the Bible and the gospel is so important. Mm-hmm. It's not just idle words. It's words guided by God. So let's talk about, you know, the New Testament. Before we talk about Luke, let's talk about John Mark. He had a very interesting life. I want to open up with his. In the Bible, there are four retellings of the life and sayings of Jesus. They are the four Gospels. Two of them are known as the Gospels of Mark and Luke. John Mark. It was very embarrassing. He had to run through the streets with no clothes on. He only hoped no one had seen him. It had all begun earlier in the week. Two men had come to his mother's house. They made arrangements for a special meal to be held there in the upstairs room. A man named Jesus and his 12 friends did have supper there. Then, very late at night, they all went out. He was curious where they might be going, so he slipped out of bed to follow them. Stupidly, he didn't put anything on, just wrapped himself with a linen sheet, and went out. Did you ever do that?
I do that all
you
the
do
time.
That? I
yes,
you might.
My neighbors
I
talk a lot.
Forget your age, you might be doing that.
I catch cold.
They went to a garden known as Gethsemane. He hid in the shadows, watching to see if anything would happen. Sometime after midnight, the high priest's guards came along with one of the men who had supper with Jesus in the upper room. And so John Mark recognized him. That man kissed Jesus, and then the guards arrested Jesus. There was a shuffle and fighting, and then Jesus' friends ran away. The guards tried to catch them, but in all the confusion, they caught John Mark. He struggled, and the sheet slipped off, and he ran away, able to dash from their midst in the darkness, plumb naked. The embarrassed young man was John Mark. Over the next few days, the friends of Jesus used John Mark's mother's upstairs room more and more as a secret meeting place. John Mark learned about Jesus and realized how special he was. In particular, he became a close friend of one of Jesus' disciples, the man named Peter. In time, John Mark himself became a follower of Jesus, as he did the man he thought of as Uncle Barnabas. Several years later, he set out on a long journey with Barnabas and another Christian named Paul. We all know Paul. To take the good news about Jesus to places such as Cyprus and Asia Minor. You may know Asia Minor is Turkey, just so you know. After a while, John Mark left the Barnabas and Paul and went back home to Jerusalem. This annoyed Paul very much, but years later, when Paul was being kept under arrest in Rome, he asked Timothy to arrange for John Mark to go to Rome to help him. After this time, Peter also went to Rome. He preached quietly, openly about Jesus. The large crowds came to listen and persuaded John Mark to write down everything for Peter. It seems that John Mark did this and made copies of the gospel for all who wanted them. This is probably how John Mark became an evangelist, the writer of the gospel, according to Mark. Later, John Mark went to Alexandria in Egypt to teach people about Jesus. Unfortunately, he died there. But it is said hundreds of years later, his body was taken to the city of Venice in what is now Italy. And his writings have become part of God's words in the gospel.
Isn't that amazing how that happens? Now, Jesus was alive and right before him in those times.
Right.
And he experienced him physically right before him. And we have a record of that and from the other three writers of the... But the difference is now we have the history, but we don't have Jesus right before us physically. We have him
inside the historical record. That's what the gospel is.
But we have him inside of us.
Yes.
So that the gospel writings start to connect with what's going on in us.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're going
absolutely
to say more.
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about St. Luke.
Sure.
And bring him into the picture. Because, you know, the Gospels were written by the four. John,
Mark, Luke, and John.
Matthew, and Luke. Yeah. And so St. Luke, tradition of the early church, considers the author of two volumes, a Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles, to be certainly written by Luke, a physician and companion of Paul. While some scholars still maintain this tradition, most modern scholars are unsure of this identification. Like Luke, may we use our gifts to proclaim Jesus to those around us. So that's what Luke tried to do, to use his words and his knowledge so that Jesus can be proclaimed. But not much is known about Luke, except that he spoke Greek, he was a doctor, and he was a great friend of Paul. He was such a good friend that he decided to travel with Paul on his journey to Rome, and Luke stayed with him there while Paul was under house arrest. It is evident that Luke's gospel, that he was a kind man. He makes special mention of the many times that Jesus cared for the poor and the outcasts.
Mm-hmm.
He also mentions that Jesus had a special favor, a special thought for women, and he considered women very important. He also made clear that Jesus not only respected women quite as much as men, even in a time when some men thought of women as second-class people. But Jesus never thought that.
You notice I didn't say anything wise.
I know, you're keeping your mouth shut. While he was with Paul in Rome, it is probable that Luke also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, which are very famous, the Acts of the Apostles, and which is the story of the Apostles. The book that tells the stories of the early Christians, including Paul. He was an evangelist. And of course, we all know evangelists are people who teach the Christian faith to people who haven't heard about it before. So Luke, John Mark played a very important role in writing the Bible and the gospel in the Old New Testament.
You know, and I'd like to tie that together with the deacon and his recollection of how he was called into a relationship with Mary and through Mary into Jesus, because you've had that and I've had that in my life, where all of a sudden, out of nowhere, instead of just reading books of theology, which are very helpful, I'm sure, and all these other holy words, and certainly reading scripture, there's more. Because Jesus and Mary touch us. They come into us, and they make us come alive somehow in relationship with them. It's amazing.
In one way or another, yeah. But, you know, a good example is John Mark. How did John Mark become involved? He was curious. He ran out with no clothes on.
That's us.
That, you know, you're right.
That's us. And we are
right.
Naked before Jesus in our sinfulness. And he says, okay, are you sorry? Yeah, I am. Well, come on closer. Let me answer some of your questions. And he does.
Yes, absolutely.
He does it. I don't know about you, but like many times you and I talk and you say things and say, it says to me, oh, I never thought that way before.
Yes,
and I'm sure if I say, and it's with other people. And that's how God works among his remnant flock. We are all his remnant.
And he uses us for different things, for different purposes. Now he used John, Mark, and Luke. God used them to write the words, to write the gospel, to write the Bible, which is actually, if you really read the Bible, it's instructions on how to lead our lives. It really is.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, I think.
It really, and look at how he touched Deacon Jock as a young man, young boy. And he's at a ceremony at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and he looks up and he thinks he sees Mary. He experiences the presence of Mary somehow. You know, how exactly, we don't know, but he did.
Yeah.
And that seed was planted there years ago. And then he was in Haiti, but then he came to the United States, was a teacher, and then he just kind of thought about the pastoral formation program as he was leaving church.
Yeah.
And he went down the road. And it's like you get dragged into it a little at a time, and he says, and I agree, and I think you would agree, we fall in love with that person that we meet internally.
Absolutely. Fall in love with Jesus. Can't get enough of him.
Yeah,
it's amazing that you rely on Jesus in everything that you do. All the tests that you and I have been going for.
Yeah,
haven't
we
been
test.
Relying on Jesus?
Sure. And look, I never believed all of this would ever really happen. It happened to other people, but never to me. And when they thought I had cancer, with prostate cancer.
Yes.
And I kept on being told internally in a voice that I become accustomed to. It's a gentle, loving voice. You don't have cancer. You don't have cancer. And I said, well, but the doctor, you don't have. I said, that's me. It's my wishful thinking. And then when the doctor called and said he thought I had cancer, and he did the test twice.
Yes.
And he said, you don't have cancer. And I hear inside of me a not-so-gentle voice saying, I told you so. You know, that's how personal God is.
And if we allow him to get that personal, he'll get that personal with everyone.
And there's nothing, no sin anywhere that can stand in the way if you're willing to just say, I'm sorry, Lord, and would you forgive me? I think of all the people I know who have had abortions. And they come forward and I said, did you go to confession? Yeah, I went to confession. God forgave you. But no, he didn't. I'm still being punished. I said, you're doing the punishing, not God, because you haven't forgiven yourself. That's what Father said. That's what was said in this reading.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the worst false God there is one's self. Boy, is that not a mouthful? You know? I think if we're going to pray for healing, we should pray for the elimination of that one worse false God, ourselves.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Absolutely. So I'm 100%.
Now, listeners, we're going to ask you just for a few minutes to quiet yourself down and allow, first of all, Mary to call you. And then ask Mary to lead you to Jesus, and through Jesus to the Father, to the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be forgiven of our addiction to our false god, ourselves.
Absolutely. And may I invite all the listeners to hold, if you would, your spouse or your friends, to hold their hands.
Sure.
And just listen to the song and dwell on it.
And if you're by yourself, just lift your hands up to God.
Absolutely.
And you'll be surprised. You'll feel his touch. He's alive. He's in the room where you are right now. I don't know who you're with, but he does. You may be alone. So what? You're not alone. He's there with you. So we ask you, Mary, first of all, would you cuddle that person there who has been felt unloved his or her whole life, and let her feel your touch of love? What a nice thing that would be for her, just because she happened or he happened to tune into this radio station this morning. Let our friends, your friends, the friends of Jesus and the Father and the Spirit, even though they're way far away in sin, let them just feel a moment of your peace and your love. Put out your calling card. Touch them. And Jesus, we ask you to do the same. Right, Tony?
Absolutely.
Ask Jesus for that.
Absolutely.
Ask Jesus for our listeners. Go ahead.
He never lets us down.
And Jesus, we ask you, touch every listener. Let them be aware that you are alive. You're a divine person, but you're not a set of concepts. You're a person. And touch their person with your personhood, Lord. Become intimate with them. Let them know you're real. You're alive. And God the Father, if you're here, and I know you are, would you help dispel their punishing view of you? Would you help our listeners to say, hey, my own father may not have been so good to me, but this God the Father really loves me. Let them feel that, and let them be touched by that, Lord. We praise you now, Lord, and we ask you, in the goodness of your love, let your forgiving grace explode in the hearts of each listener, in the soul of each person who's been turned from you. Help that soul to turn around, repent, and turn back to you. And Mary, we're playing the Ave Maria because we know you're intricately involved in every healing that takes place anywhere in this world. You are our mother, given to us from Jesus on the cross. Son, behold your mother. And Mary, we know you do your job. You do it better than anyone, anywhere, ever could. You know, and I wonder, Mary, when you were carrying Jesus in the womb, and you had him as a child, I wonder, did you know, did you really know that he was God? You know? Isn't that what this song is all about? We just want
Good
you
thought.
To think along with us. Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on?
Just like we planned it.
Just like you planned it, right on the button.
Good light.
From the heart of the nautical mile.